for systems that maintenant posting to Freemasonry in terms of the context. And with that in mind, I was wondering if it is not perhaps good for us to ask the fake law advisors and the opposite sex to look at the NCOP at the joint rule as they are today, and with a document by Masami to perhaps compile a list of possible problematic rules where some of the we have actually created our own systems which could be in contravention of the Constitution. Check with it, it is very important for us during this process. You know, we have seen there's an increase in the number of cases that are drawn before the Constitutional Court. And we cannot have a situation where Parliament is writing rules that overstretch its powers, because then we are bound to lose in court. If we, and I believe that the a lot of thinking went into the compilation, as Simon also said. So I don't want to suggest that everything is, I think, excellent elements were there, and where they didn't know whether it was the right thing, they in fact passed it back to the respective houses, whatever. Can we not perhaps just have an opportunity to get on the table what are the provisions of the joint rules as they stand today in edition 6 could possibly be overstretching the role of the joint rule and Parliament's joint sittings. If we could have such a document, then at least we start right there to understand where do we derive the mandate and the mandate for the joint operations of Parliament from. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think it is very less now to say, because here I think that they try to get fired. And then also, of course, just as we mentioned that we should test each and every general that we have now, whether there's anything that informs it from the Constitution, which is in line with the Constitution. I think that is correct. Because one understands that if the NA is dealing with Section 75 bills, and Section 76 is for the NCOP, then what informs the use of Section 75 to flow to the NCOP? If it is informed by the Constitution, it is fine, but if it is not, then I think we must relook at it, because nobody can say that the National Assembly doesn't have representatives for provinces. Because you put this for each province that is from the province straight to the NA to make sure that every corner of the country is represented in the NA. Now then, what is it that you are testing when you send the Section 75 to the NCOP? That people would not have actually been attending the NA. And, you know, those kind of things, you see, I think Julius has covered all that, and also really look at the issues. I think the one thing that I was just worried, I know that, you know, in terms of Parliament, that the President can ask for a joint sitting. But then I think as we move forward, and then you've got charges in there, you've got provincial premiers, then you've got whole sets of mayors from South are coming through the NCOP and the NCOP delegation. But then you don't have a delegation from the National House of Representatives. I know that the Constitution is not saying anything now, but that is just one group that is now sitting there outside. And then the president is delivering the state of the nation. And be in line with the joint rules, but I mean, the question is, if the purpose of the president to call the joint sitting to deliver the state of the nation, then it needs everybody, all the houses. But then the But the other one thing, Chair, is that at least this particular document is flagging. And then whether it is not, it is too much of a call, you know, for an analytic document that really picked up, I think, all the fact of the fact that you have explained in relation to each item, which are not necessary. You know, it's an analytic essay type thing that the speaker may sit with a particular document and then says, no, this particular chapter, it is saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but this particular clause is unconstitutional, and then it needs to be amended, this particular one that is not in line with the punctual. So that the person that is just reading the document, then can even understand the reasoning and the politics of that, of this particular, I don't know whether we would call it the typical green paper or whatever. And then that seeks to amend the joint book. Because at the moment I think it is it's almost like based on a speaking note that you can address us following on the community. But if you just simply read this alone, then you may have a little bit of threat. Now there are two individuals that may need to receive this document to read, not in a forum like this one, for them to be able to assist us to say we will need to come in there and come and speak on this particular matter. And I think that's what it was wanted to raise, Chair. Thanks.
I was going to say, Chair, you see, that a public representative, if you will, listen to all of you. You take the responsibility of your role away from your party interest and deal with the reality. What clearness are there is that we need to be able to preserve and conduct ourselves with what the Constitution claims. The last judgment where Parliament was on the public protector. I mean, when Singer's appointed us as that you as Parliament have not conducted yourself professionally and compliant, you know, we have divided our responsibility. You could either dismiss the Constitutional Court and represent us, then think that you can handle yourself as you have been handling yourself in the past. But if you, the success of the story of the National Assembly rule has been because under the guide of the chair, you started to realize the responsibility, even as government party members, that you have the best comments if you don't politicize the party, then in the party category and say, in the end, you will have to succeed. But you start conducting them in a forum. So many opposition parties have been saying, let's take to the rules of the Constitutional Court. But if you look at the time period that has taken there, the fight is very difficult, even with the 50 cases, for the shrewdness of in how we contracted oversight within the subcommittee and in how we have been engaging them. So that bears on our own consciousness. If you want to deal with this, the journey would have to take the same stance. Clearly, even when we're doing the National Assembly, we knew that some of our own colleagues had not conducted themselves properly and professionally how they maintain the constitutionality of the NDA and succeeded. And that integrity went a long way in how to conduct themselves behind the closed doors. And when we presented them to the National Assembly, it became clear that in the opposition parties, there's no role they could challenge us on. Yeah, they could shout at us, but it's a cultural role where we're misconducted. So here, it's quite clear that they can't be two-minded about it. The National Assembly, the Speaker, is asking and the Senate Chair that do the joint rules in a manner that makes South Africa very proud. world of particularism, you see. And that's where the responsibility lies. And that's where we must be feeling that whatever reservations we have about how the conduct of our members in the The chair of that committee, of the National Council of Provinces, is a veteran. It's very clear in my mind that there is a National Council of Provinces. It has to be stable, to be existing. And it has to be treated like that, you see. So, for me, the vantage point, my postcard is that this is what we need to put in the community in a manner that would leave, when I leave this room, my integrity. South Africa, be it me or be it not me tomorrow, will still be feeling that we have delivered the best of our own knowledge. Something that will make all of us proud that South Africa has still been present and still maintained its constitutional democracy. And that will inform any position that we have. And I'll debate that fight in the past because it's what I think is going for fundamental. It's what we need. So we need to guide them. I agree with you, looking at that 42. You see, I'll tell you, you are whispering that sometimes the Secretary of Parliament wouldn't understand what happened here. So he would be put as a lion or a tiger here. How do we craft these rules to make it potentially possible that they are not being viewed as to a priority? And for me, there has even in the way that PPA gets applicable now. It does affect, you see. I mean, you were just whispering myself and myself when we look at the issue of discipline, when you said that the National Council of Conferences chair doesn't have a say over the members of the National Assembly. And she has done that when the Constitutional Court is a challenge. But it's something that we have to take with the borders that we have to say that whether we're right or not right. We have crafted 53A, 3 tested, they've been tested, and it seems to be successful. But the point that is left now, does the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces have a say over that particular question? Or at least going to the rule that it will become instructive on her in how she conducts herself when she chairs the joint CC. With the clarity in mind that this is how far your powers are coming. So that we don't go and face another constitutional court challenge. Because the constitutional court today is very alive. And it's allowing a lot of members of the constitutional court, I mean members of the public, to come and tell all the different views they have about their own society. For me, that is very positive. I support it. I don't care whatever the issue is. But if ever members of our society feel that, let's take this issue and go tell them the constitution. And it's our duty, duty by history, that as members of parliament, we must fulfill that mission of making sure that we stabilize this constitutional democracy, we work hard for it to be successful. So it will be dependent on the rules that we are beginning to put together of how we make sure that we deliver and the right society. Society have agreed, society have accepted that we have a constitutional state and we have a constitutional democracy. And we want them to conduct ourselves in terms of our constitution. So that's why I agree with my colleagues to say, as members of parliament, let's test this type of view, which takes no analysis. We must look at it very aggressively, be critical, be honest, be fair to us, so that when we go to the presiding officers, we say to the presiding officers, this is the view. This is what we think we should be able to agree the National Council of Provinces about. We will go to our party corners and talk to the party leaders and be able to feel and feel the guidance. But for the sake of society, we need to maintain the constitutional democracy and the rules that we craft out are supposed to be applicable. I would say, Chairperson, even at some stage, which is the opinion that Paris has just made, which is, would be tested, it would be one of the things that we have to do, to to make before that chapter to after he described his marriage. Proceeded both to Lelami and Johnny Dillard, can't come and talk to what they have been crafting over some time. Give them an opportunity to do a presentation also. So that we test everybody, have tested the joint work. So that when we walk the talk, we then have everybody come and everybody can allow it. Which is saying that the rules are not in Christ. Are going to be very, to be able to stand, can understand the chapter. But the chapter doesn't always say to us, don't look at your heart. Be here and feel obliged that of God has what you need. And I think that we start this journey now with the team of the Holy Spirit. We must help to be able to provide that society leadership. And for me, it's an opportunity we should work hard and feel very obliged and committed. That's why I was saying to you that one thing that I like about you, not like many people, will tell you about the Quran. You've taught me one thing with the Quran. Start a meeting, you'll bring them halfway. Whoever calls them to you, and we are going to bring them. And there's no challenges, but and some of them have to be tested. If you can, chapters and do the kind of the whole table of the state, you are entitled and everybody is looking at here. After you have crafted our job, maybe we need to be able to bring the constitutional court. For some of the judgments that they have made over some time, and for implications for both parliament and for both houses. And it clearly says that within that kind of job, when you then have to cite the cases. Now the problem with transparency is that you can't hide and say my party is not yet ready and they're using a different way. The more media comes, the more everybody comes, they'll show interest in what you're doing. There's a lot that happens in the national and the relationship with provinces and national is happening in the national council of provinces. And one thing that has not been doing in the past years I've been doing is how we treat the National Council of Provinces and give them the respect that the Constitution has provided for them. For in dealing with the Liberal Parliament, we have to deal with that issue so that it accommodates them and makes them feel part of the process that we have created at the top. The divergence that we have, we always have to do testing as we're always doing it here and find each other who can resolve this discussion. No challenge. I know. I mean, one thing that I say that our, for our own democracy, when we crafted the constitution of the broader stabilization for society, I'm not a federalist, but I had to accommodate that when the IFP insisted some of the federal elements in our society. And I know something to call it, that chapter has been opened. And quite clearly, the IFP is going to check us to tax because this will be their own mission. We're not going to leave it. They have always been for a federal tax system. And in applying our mind here, that time is going to come. Unless the IFP is not able to articulate so much. But this time around, we're going to face them and face some of the issues that are going forward. So that type of debate in the broader scope of things is still a new chapter. And that's my approach. I'll battle my way out and be able to represent the church of our party. That's where I'm looking at the leader very broadly, but I didn't welcome that last time. At all times, in your presentation, you can give us accommodations. I'm taking the challenge.
It was harder to station.
Anthony.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to Mr. Arnick Senior for his media briefing. Chairperson, I've just had a brief chat with my chief whip, Mr. Singh, and I would like to concur with the IFP would concur with the sentiments expressed by the earlier speakers. We would support a full and not consequential revision of the joint rules, and we would concur that the state law advisors be approached to first go through the joint rules on a rule-by-rule basis to see that through and ensure that they pass constitutional muster before we get into the practice of such rules. And then just to Mr. Boyd's last statement, the IFP is quite happy to articulate its position as regards federalism, and we would look forward to that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Can I just ask perhaps the legal team can assist as well? This question of the presiding officer of the NCFP disciplining the member of the NA in the joint debate. If the rules, the joint rules, make provision for that, do both houses buy into that, would that be enough? Or would there still be a constitutional issue? Would it be an infringement of the constitutional separation of the two houses? Can the joint rules simply say we agree that it should be like that?
Any view on the matter?
Well, yeah, I would start by saying there's a difference between discipline and maintained order. And when we discussed the previous Rule 53A in this committee, we made that point. And that's presently being argued in the Western Cape High Court. The issue of order, I don't see any problem there with the presiding officer maintaining order over the city. Dishing out, if I may use it like that, or handing out discipline, the way the rules are working at the moment, is an automatic suspension. But from what was said in this committee, that is a disciplinary step. And we've made an opinion on that. And I would argue there that if the rules allow this, the joint rules allow that, then the two houses have adopted them. And the two houses are constitutionally mandated to determine their own proceedings and procedures, and that would be valid. So if the houses said it went as a joint sitting, and whoever is presiding can then make such a ruling that involves discipline, and that rule has been adopted by the relevant house, I don't see a problem with that. This is now just trying to work a little bit in a logical way. I mean, perhaps one will have to do some comparative analysis to see what it is, but I cannot see how a court will find that problematic. I think the court would rather look at the principle, which is, if there's discipline, was there an administrative nature, was there some kind of effect, a negative effect on the member's right, and if so, was there an opportunity for the member in some other way to state his or her case? I think that would rather be the problem of the court, not to say, well, your rule, you can't make a rule like that. I don't think that would be a big problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. How is funding perceived as being constituted to the unsigned? If both the rules of the NA provide that the presiding officer speaks under normal circumstances as that comes, and the NCOP chairperson and, or not chairperson, yeah, the chairperson of the NCOP, as that comes, when their individual houses, when they come together, if the rules and the joint rules just provide that they have similar powers regardless of who is chairing at that moment, then I would think that it should become. Yeah. The Constitution provides simply that members in each house, they have the same privileges as the other, and they have it in terms of the privileges that. So, provided substantively that we adhere to those principles and to those rights, and to treat them fairly and constitutionally, that's a great position.
Judy?
Thank
you.
Chairperson, this is interesting. I was just quickly checking also the joint rules. Joint rule 14G is very clear. If the presiding officer on page 8, if the presiding officer is of the opinion that the member delivers their contravening the provision of these rules, or that the member is the content of or is disregarding the authority of the chair, which is probably what has happened, or that the member's conduct is grossly disorderly, that as well, he or she may order the member to withdraw immediately from the chamber for the remainder of the sitting. But the second rule thereafter says if the presiding officer is of the opinion that a contravention committed by a member of either house is of so serious a nature that an order to withdraw from a chamber for the remainder of the sitting is inadequate, the presiding officer may refer the matter to the speaker or to the chairperson of the council, whichever is relevant to for appropriate action. So if there's a there's an instruction to withdraw, no problem. Thereafter, so what I think what is meant here is that if it is the NCOP chairperson instructing the member to withdraw, and the member doesn't withdraw, and she says, I hereby suspend you for 5 days, that would have been wrong, because then 14H should have kicked in. But I hear what they're saying in terms of the constitution, and I think the rules here are in fact also covering us. I hope that we will not be found to be at the wrong end of the law.
The point is very important for us. The thing that there's nothing on top Parliament will have his own disciplinary procedure processes. And then, in fact, in your NA, you have already proposed some form of, you're not sure exactly, but some DC type of a thing. I would take a view here that if I committed disorderly behavior in a joint sitting, I should be tried, not tried really. I should really appear before the DC of the Parliament. And then, because if I, in a joint sitting, I misbehave, and then ordered to leave, I refuse, surely there must be some form of committee that both houses, by the sheet or in terms of the NA, another person outside who look at the DC of this number. And then I will have a problem if the joint sitting, the misconduct happens, and you wait for another house to take its own decision in terms of the processes. I just think that would be very bad too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Either an NCOP sitting or an NA sitting have the same powers.
Yeah.
So that when they get together in a joint sitting, you are not going to have a situation of that speaker that you were talking about, where automatically, by virtue of the rule contained in the joint law, the chairperson of the NCOP is powered and changed.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to give that person the same powers as the speaker in a joint sitting, when ordinarily she doesn't have that when she chairs her own house.
Chairperson, but it's just interesting because it is then referred to the relevant house, and the rule 12 says when a house sits jointly, the assembly rules on discipline remain applicable to assembly members, and the NCOP rules on discipline remain the same on the NCOP members. So if it is then referred to the relevant speaker or the NCOP, that house will then set up its DC, disciplinary committee, whatever, and then determine if that member should be punished, disciplined, whatever. So I think that is just what we wanted to make sure of.
Okay.
But the thing on the old NA and NCOP laws, it doesn't in our view credit for the growth or the evolution that is now being contained in the NA laws. So the choice of the committee then is to maintain this current system where if the NCOP doesn't amend their rules to give their speaker the powers to do what the speaker of the NA is able to do, this would then have to be made. If however you enlarge the chairperson's powers, this rule could be amended to then take for 2015 and then exercise by every chair in relation to whether that the MP is a member of his or her house or not.
You see, in terms of what we're arguing in and what you hear from back into the I give an expression of then conflict in the constitution creates this issue. Because you then look at how the National Council of Provinces is constituted. So if the constitution says you are a participant in the National Council of Provinces to make sure that the constitution says you maintain the interest of your province, which means your participation in the National Assembly from the province is legitimate. But then if you misconduct in a joint session, who takes responsibility? Then the constitution says, and or the rule in the order says, your chair takes responsibility. It's not the speaker of the National Assembly that takes that particular responsibility. But that 14G and 14H and 14I reopen that if the decision is made only from one practice, which is the master in the joint sitting, which if anyone chair, they have a say over it. In the final thing, to me the more clarity and some consistency with what the constitution is beginning to direct us to do, that who has a say over a particular problem. Can the speaker as he sits there say to the members of the National Council of Provinces, or the constitution recognizes independence from the members of the National Assembly. I don't say independence automatically, but you know this thing of autonomy. It sustains it in a particular way. So the question that comes into being, when you wrote that 53A that we are using to be able to address the gross misconduct, is it consistent with what is the expectation of the Constitution at that particular moment? And I'll still say, with no fear or favor, that we need to look at the Constitutional Court's argument. Has it applied itself consequentially in the same way the Constitution is expecting in how the House was constituted on the day the chair has been the particular view within the House? I've not seen, a total reflection of what the judge was saying, but of course it's a continuation in how the House is beginning to write the rules. It's something that we need to be able to step over and see if the Constitutional Court judgment was talking to that. Is there consistency with the joint rules? Is there consistency with the Constitution? Is there consistency with what the Constitutional Court is saying? I'm not yet in what the legal person says, what is in front of us, but I'm not looking for consistency in how the law has been applied on an incident that has happened in a joint system, in a joint city that took place. If we can get our mind working around that issue, those would be your immediate, interest. So that if you go into the State of the Nation address, you then know what is the consistency. Does the chair of the National Council of Provinces have the same power as the speaker? Because this is what I cannot say. The Constitution talks of the speaker and talks of the National Council of Provinces. And but conferring powers to both of them equally is one thing that was fundamentally explained by myself. How to make that? Well, the Constitution doesn't say what is the difference between the chair and the speaker, the conference of power. So I would want to get more clarity that if you compare and give the power to the speaker, it's for the chair yourself. So that then you get clarity in how you write your rules based on the power or the defined of who is the speaker and who is the national chair. But if the constitution says parliament is constituted by both houses, you see, how do you come to a decision? But that's the type of guidance you need to get from the constitutional experts. That is that what we do in the case, the power that we confer was trying to add something. I think I share Mr. Boyd's concern around constitutional considerations around members of the one house versus members of the other house. I accept that if they have identical powers, and they need to have identical powers in terms of maintaining order. But even if they have identical powers, this is unfortunately an intrinsic part of the role of a presiding officer in his discretion. And so different presiding officers are going to use their discretion differently. And if one is not comfortable with using discretion and managing to maintain order through personality and so on, they're going to come down hard with certain rules which would not have happened in the context of presiding officer of the other house. So it's not just scientific application of rules, objective application of rules, there's a personal element involved. And that what makes me a bit uncertain also around the presiding officer of one house being able to take action of whatever kind against a member of another house. And Mr. Boyd is right, if you look at the Constitution, the National Assembly is dealt with separately. Who are the members of the National Assembly? What is their role? How are they elected? Versus the members of the NCC, how do they get there? To whom are they answerable? Very different. So one has to be, I think, very cautious there. But I do think, probably, that if both houses agree and the powers are the same that are applied, and both houses have formally agreed to joint rule that allow that to happen, I don't think that could be contested. Although it might not be always entirely comfortable. Just in passing as well, Mr. Boyer, I think in 1996-97 we tried to take the joint rules to the Constitutional Court to get their view, and they returned it saying it's not their function to advise. If we come with a case against anybody, then they will challenge some, I'll take the Constitutional Court on the basis of charge or something.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think
what I said earlier, perhaps I should have started with that. But what Mr. Honey says, who are you answerable to? That's an interesting point. And I think that can guide the discussion considerations here. Members are accountable to the electorate, of course, and to the provinces, to the provincial legislatures, again, back to the electorate. The power of the chairperson or the speaker to maintain order or into discipline is based on the rules. And that power comes from the houses. So if you look at it like that, then the houses can make the rules, much like Mr. Heinrich has now said, and which we all agreed upon. So it's not necessarily that you're the chairperson of the house, and therefore I'm a member of the National Assembly. That's not the relationship that's the problematic issue, or that needs to be looked at. You need to look at what if the houses decide, and who do they delegate power through their rules to? And if one house agrees with the other house to delegate power to whoever is presiding over the joint system, I don't think there's a constitutional issue with that. But I'm repeating myself, but just to get the logic, but I didn't express myself in a particular way.
Okay.
You see, I agree with you. But you see, when we're dealing with the power of the privilege and the actual regulation on the court case that we're not taking the case, you see, the word in the National Assembly, your conduct in the House, there is consequence. You see. Now, if you look at that eye at this particular moment, doesn't it express it of regret and how do you show that? You are then directed to go from the chairman to the speaker or the chairman of the committee to expression of now, that also talks to who it is then that they are talking to. Because if at that particular moment the House has been presided by the chair or the House was presided by the speaker, which the rules get applicable. And I'm not saying that in a way the rules, the joint rule is reaching, open up the debate. as a member feel that when it comes to the joint sitting? Because if we remember how we wrote the rules of the National Assembly about the authority of the speaker, that the final word in this National Assembly is the speaker. Now, who's the authority? Is it the joint or this rule? I doesn't appreciate you make a letter of regret, you then write to the speaker or you then write. So I say that it then brings me, who is the authority of parliament? You see? Because if that will not reflect the open top privilege, and what the Constitution is not giving guidance about, is that who is that authority in parliament? Well, if the Constitution says both these two houses exist, he then must also talk to us and say, who is the authority residing with both the National Chair and the Speaker? And I know the resistance when we're dealing with this matter, that where does the authority lie? That's why we were able and had the capacity to say, the authority wouldn't lie in the chief minister. It's a forum of consensus, of talking to each other and smiling to each other. But that authority exists with the speaker. Now, if you deal with the joint rules, who has the authority lie with? And how do we then cast it out in a manner that it doesn't undermine the Constitution? But it does make it quite relevant that somebody must have the final word inside the joint sitting itself. Because you can't then say, if, well, that's what we find in the rule, that the event delegated, that who wants to be the chair, and then they can co-opt somebody to chair. And I've been, when the National Council of Provinces was chairing, the resistance and the undermining part that took place from a member of the National Assembly spoke to that who the authority lies with, or does the member of the National Assembly feel obliged to the rules to recognize the member of the chairperson in the same respect they would feel. I accept what Mr. Andrew says, scientifically accept that. But at the end of the day, when people work out by rules, we then have to concede that they look into the rules to consider who is chairing and what authority does he carry. Can he tell me what to do and what not to do in the House itself? If you deal with a point of order, you can feel that particular element. You can't tell us, there's got no authority over us. And this is what one curse, that who does that authority?
Do you want to take a question? Before I let us give husband.
And I just wanted to add to what Mr. Boyd has been saying. First of all, Joint Rule 11 is this relief of presiding officer, not limited to the chair of the NCOP and the speaker. Other presiding officers can be asked to take the chair. So it extends the range of people who can be maintaining order. But the other point is, taking worst case scenario, if the presiding officer, the single presiding officer who's chairing the joint sitting, abuses his or her power, where does the corrective lie? In the case of the National Assembly, the presiding officer, the National Assembly holds the presiding officer to account and can dismiss the presiding or remove the presiding officer. In the case of a joint sitting, that is not possible. So if it's an NGOP presiding officer acting irresponsibly and abusing power, where does the corrective lie? Must that be referred back to the NCOP for the NCOP to take action? The NCOP might be fully in agreement with the presiding officer. So that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These things are very complex matters. I just want to say something else, and I should add to the complex nature of it. I heard Advocate Jenkins referring to where you derive your authority from. Now, we must also bear in mind that the ENA is compiled by a list, by a list. 200 from a national list in accordance with the outcome of the election, and 200 from those provinces, from provincial lists. But the NCOP derives its mandate from basically provincial elections, not the same national pool, the election outcome of a province. Because contrary to what many people think, there is no such thing as an NCOP list. There is only a provincial list, and many of the nominees that ultimately come to the NCOP come from that provincial list. They don't come from any of the other national lists. So I think we must bear that in mind. And that obviously complicates matters. Because if we are referring here to this, the only little bit of a blessing that I see in this process is the fact that Section 45 stipulates that the Joint Rules Committee can be established to make rules and orders concerning the joint business of the Assembly and Council, including role and order. And then it lists what it may do. Now, I just wanted to alert members who will be looking at the detail of the state organizer. Look at A, to say, to T here, it says to determine procedures to facilitate the legislative process, including setting a time limit, that is what the Sanamic has referred to establish joint committees composed of representatives from both the Assembly and the Council to consider and report on goals envisaged in Section 74 and 75 that are referred to such a committee, and then to establish a joint committee to review the Constitution at least annually and to regulate. Now, again, we have more committees than are listed here, and please just look at that. And then the other thing is, I hear what the chairperson said at the beginning with regards to duplication of certain processes, public hearings, etc. I'm just concerned, especially when it comes to ordinary votes not affecting provinces, that there is absolutely no need described in the Constitution for the NCOP to duplicate the national process. Not this. Because here, it's stipulated very clearly that on step one, the NA must pass the vote. And then there's no need for a joint committee to consider the bill. There could be a joint meeting called for to receive information about the bill. But it is a two-step process, and we can't confuse this two-step process. The one must be concluded before the second house deliberates on it. And here it has three choices, the NCOP. It can either pass the bill with amendment, we can reject the bill. 75 of the Constitution. And if the Council rejects the bill, all passes are subject to an amendment, the Assembly must reconsider it, and it can then pass it with or without the amendment proposed by the NCOP. So in this case, in Section 75 bills, we hear what they are saying, what the NA is listening to what they're saying, and we can think it's maybe a good suggestion, but the same thing happens in Section 76, but it's a little different here. And now I'm posing the question. If it is affecting provinces, and there's again step one and step two, my question is, where does the responsibility lie to conduct public hearings? Should those public hearings not be conducted in provinces and not in the national sphere? Because otherwise, what is the purpose of a body that is supposed to represent provincial interests? I would argue that provincial legislatures should then call their representatives, and they should then conduct provincial public hearings to consider the implications of the bill for that particular province. But all I'm just saying is, in the process of developing procedures, etc., have we not sometimes missed the intent of the Constitution to have the provincial interests strongly represented, and I know my colleague here says he's not a federalist, but it's not what we believe in. I think in the end it is what is in the Constitution, and I think we must just do that.
I wonder if this is just because I'm not sure that what I don't assume is afraid to be. You see, the homogeneity of the ruling party for the past 10 years, for the past 30 years, it doesn't matter. And it means how you contributed your vote was based on that. That is the homogeneous relationship. But the reality is, and what is what the Constitution interprets, is multi-partisan. So you could be able to say within the homogeneous it was easier to craft most of these votes and find each other working together. There was no challenge. But really distinct if you deal with it again itself. In a multi-party system without the Constitution, if the party that is covering the National Assembly is equally of what happened in the National Council of Provinces, is equally of what happened in the provinces, which we have seen now in the elections. How do you craft it? Make sure, because at the end of the day, what the Constitution says is so true, we must govern in a manner that is fair and carry the mandate of the people for us. It doesn't say you must govern and respect your party interests. So as a public representative, the example is more in belief of the constitutional democracy. How do you deal with that environment? How, well, that's the environment that is changing now. So some of the beliefs are difficult for you, the concept that Mr. Andrew was using, and how you behave as a personnel, I mean as a personality inside the house. If the co-chair, the one I'm saying that the fund of the authority in the country, is that if the chair is not from the governing party, how do you mediate that relationship? Which is an evolution of your constitutionalism, that you acknowledge that there are different parties, and in those different parties you acknowledge that there's multi-party. And how do you deal with it? So that you don't have to worry about all the other rules in the media, that it has a based on agreement of what we need. But the Constitution has long foreseen that environment. It might not exist permanently in that particular relationship. So now the Constitution instructs us then take recognition that multi-partism might creep in. And it's here today. How do you craft rules to take acknowledgement of that particular technology? So that tomorrow, if there's no agreement in the House, and based on politics, how do you make the two people to work with each other to sustain the constitution itself? So I'm just saying it's one thing that we will whisper in the corner, beginning with the law. And it's how these rules were crafted. That's why Mr. Andrew says in a whisper, in a down tone, you then say, no, keep this rule away in the meantime. Go and talk to the other comrades there, and let's agree on a common cliché that this thing is going to have implication for us. But here it is here, that there is multi-party that are contesting the space, you see. And they're contesting it within a constitutional state. What do you do? Because if you look at, that's my last thing, but if you look at the American type of model now, where the Republicans have a lot of say in where they are strong, less than the Democrats. Because if you look at how they are beginning to show the power of the Democrats versus ability is in a totalitarian situation, if that can happen to us, what are we going to do? These rules won't be able to work in that environment. For me, this is part of the lessons now that are happening within society. But likely, the South African Constitution have long viewed the situation and said, maintain multipartism in your approach. And maybe this is what will inform our approach. How do we deal with this? Let me deal with the family. Do we acknowledge that there's no homogeneity? And when there's no homogeneity, challenge, what do we do? So that we don't like to on the basis of how to agree, which is what Tony and Mr. Hanley will be doing.
Okay. No, I think they have to. A lot of waiting on the
man.
Look at it and see what is it that we can do. Possibly to cover it in such a way that when we just the NCOP, but after that I think that's why we will give it to the NCOP. They will have a joint workshop with the NCOP. But by that time we have developed it better. And then because we are working on this rule at least we are still little bit our mind is still very fresh about what we did. Because we don't combine the two and control this and that one. And I think then once we have prepared it, we have enriched it because of this discussion, we can give it to NCOP and have one workshop before the end of the year again, where all the team, then we sit down and say, this is what is based on how we're going to work on it. And then these are complicated issues that need time. That would be much easier. I think today we have such a seminar for NA to start identifying difficult things. It's not very difficult. But I don't know what the NCOP colleagues are going to say when they come. They find also they are bringing more difficult issues. Sometimes they may also resolve some of these things with difficult. They exercise their mind and they would have to support them. I think that's how we should do it. In the state law advisor look at the issue that we are saying we look at. And then we'll assist them, share ideas with some of them. And then the staff then work out once we are through this documentation before a joint workshop. And then if we join workshop, maybe with a longer one, because if the NCOP is here, it will be a long one. Because I don't think the one in a five you must be assessing the issue of the issue, but I shall intrude you want to make a point.
Would you be
bear in mind that it is not an elected structure, and therefore we must not confuse matters of democratic structures with such structure, such as Salga and traditional leaders. And we must always be mindful that, in this case, it is based in the constitution, but in the case of Salga, it's broadly the cooperative governance arrangement or whatever, but it would be very helpful. Now, the other issue that I was just thinking of, could we not, I think Africa Jenkins looks very, very despondent that we didn't request him for any additional support. I was wondering if we couldn't just perhaps get from the legal services which bill has the successfully been challenged through court process as a result of legislative provisions or technical, not substance, process. And if we could, if we have that, if we can just have the instance and just a short paragraph of what the essence was and if it has been corrected subsequently. Otherwise, you know, this is also the right process for us to tidy up specifics in our rules to make sure that we are not challenged on process and actually use court cases and bills are delayed and, you know, all of that frustration comes with.
she has made up quite a lot, that's what we say, even the background movement that has got to the theme that you said, you did with Johnny and others. You don't have confidential and secret about working with the subcommittee. Maybe you should make it as a public party so that we can get some of their views at an early stage and see if we can begin to hold forth. Maybe the few testimonies and the number of them. But to give us a start of information.
There wasn't any kind of elaborate record in the joint subcommittee itself. When the joint subcommittee reported to the joint rules committee, the minutes of the joint rules committee may provide some information. We would try and assess that, try and get all of those and see if they're consistent. But can I ask Chair, I'm not clear yet on the enrichment you want in this document. Do you want me to capture the discussions here to work on it?
Yeah, no, I thought that because of this discussion, they may have the issue that are raised that are not covered by the document now. That we put them down because some of the issues that are difficult, we must put them in this document. Because as we meet with the NCOP, they must also appreciate that there's a lot of work to be done. It's not as the same, as you said, it's not just consequential. And then some of them are very profound issues that we may need to engage with the presiding officers to have their views on this matter. I think we'll try to highlight them. And then where there are just simple consequential issues, and then because I'm not sure the NCOP will appreciate if we take a role from the NA and put it to NCOP. And of course also there will be no reinvention of the wheel, but they may take a view general than that. Everything really should also be participating full of them. We can participate fully with them on those, but we can also take some of the issues that are positive as well. And but sometimes they don't want to be dominated by any age, and then they're very sensitive in that, and we should find a way of ensuring that we don't reinvent the wheel when there are rules already that are covering some of the issues and take them there, but refine them to suit the joint rules to avoid really again unending work when they think that has been done. And I think we'll raise very difficult issues, and whatever difficult issue I have looked at it also. Once we are sure the document is enriched by the discussion, we'll have time then to sit down with it. And then the workshop then so OP and we take them through. Or the very same document, of course, also covers some of the issues. Identifying specific rules, I think that we think that must be amended. And because if we don't do that, again, it may take a long time just thinking about what rules, because they've not been part of the thoroughgoing process before. And then you can assist them to understand these are critical rules that need to be amended for changes. Where possible, again, I think that would be very good for us. The option, what is the rationale of what you are providing? What is this and how to contrast with that? I think we are thick document that we produce before starting to deal with issue, motivation, how we motivate. It was very helpful because it was a thoroughgoing process, you know, said this is what we are proposing, that is the main purpose why we are proposing it. Then people, when they read, they understand what you're trying to do. And then I think we are also looking at the laws and try to identify the processes that we found wanting. Public involvement, I think, is a bigger issue now. And there's no way that judges will accept any law that does not sufficient public engagement. I think there must be a reasonable ground why it is to advocate changes, and then you look at the things, you look at what are the issues. But when we meet with NCOP, I think we must be very detailed in the workshop. Mm-hmm. And then we have met, this is what we are proposing. Of course, they will have their views. And because we have applied our mind, I think we should do that. We find that they agree with us, and that this rules are just okay.
If I can just make a comment, if we change and put in specific proposals,
yeah.
Before we even heard them, I think that might they might have exceptions. Maybe we should hear them first, and then do a document which captures the views on both sides. Otherwise, we would seem to be imposing maybe understatements.
Well, I do that. We'll take think it was good that the DNA would have been looking at this matter. This is how we have been seeing things, they must go apply their mind. I think they're weak to go to be a shepherd in the behavior that I thought. I think she's very open to that. I think you guys have been dealing with the group for some time. It is assistance also in terms of the processes. And then make forward, put forward the proposals and the confidence, and then work on that. Yeah. I think she's very open on that. She was emphasizing it. She was supposed to be here, of course, she's in Egypt so far. That's why she can be here. But we have spoken to her. She's very happy that we should do that. Not yet. And then I think once we work it out, I think the staff then will find another Friday somewhere where we have a bigger workshop with them, so people. We start again giving them the recommendation, how we motivate it. And then I think I think that some tools are dealing with it. In good times, we try to meet with them, so these are not in provinces. These are in provinces because we may be here when they're not here, including assistance. I think we try to talk to the staff. The intention also to invite the senior staff to be here, because of their own. Try to find a date that is suitable for in the staff against you. And then we give them the document at least 7 days before they're in the field. In order for them to come at least the 8 days of the discussion. I think that's what should happen.
Wouldn't you prefer that what people need on the tell the DNA documents first?
Maybe you can do that. Okay. Yes. In a week's time, NA you can sit down, receive the recommendation of the session, and then refine it, yeah, 2 weeks.
What kind of thing? Like, 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Then I will do it this one. Let us work it out first. And we'll have some discussion on it, and so we'll be engaged. The second week of November. Second week of November, then the third week of November, we will have a meeting because this year we should have a joint workshop with NSO Field, the 13th of And then the NSO Field, the speech are really wonderful to analyze this thing. We have to identify some of the rules that need to be engaged immediately. manuscript is sufficient for us to finalize the research. It's sufficient. But you have worked on some of these things for some time. And there will be things that you can't do, and we look at the football design to just 53 a.m. was standard, I think 79 could be started. It's far easier for us.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attention. Thanks to you.
See you then in 2 times.
Thank you.